This episode of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by the TMOS Amazon Portal. Remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop. It's that easy. Thank you. Now on with the show.
Teams from Calvert Hall, Frederick, and Hammond meet today on It's Academic.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Just to take care of a little business, will that first part be heard or edited in post?
That was my mistake. That'll be fixed.
Okay. I feel a little better today,
Look better, actually.
I feel a little better. It is a process that we are going through here, but it's good to be here, and it's good to be on the show, and we got a lot to cover on a very, very busy week, shortened week with the holiday and on all that, but I just wanted to say that I feel like there may be light at the end of the tunnel.
Mike, don't walk into the light.
Don't do it.
Stay away from the light.
No, okay. Physically, I think your face looks better today. How does it feel?
Feels like I'm going into the... Probably like you would feel when you're starting to undergo the peeling process of a sunburn.
Okay, well, I was curious. They ask you to rank like a pain thing on 10. Are you in any pain, and has it diminished since yesterday?
Two, three, four.
Okay.
Three or four.
Okay. And it's better than yesterday?
It's better than yesterday. That's
Are you allowed
counts.
To take like an ibuprofen if it gets unseemly?
No. How are your lips today?
They're good.
Okay. Because they look trapped again.
Well.
Oh, but Mike, with your face, they look better.
They do. They do. But we're a hot mess between the two of us now.
Yes. Have you thought about going in for a facial? And just pretending everything's normal.
Oh. No, because that would rip my face off, probably.
That would probably hurt.
Hey, you know what you could do?
I've seen the tools the professionals use for that, Josh, and they are not, they're not something I would want to, oh my God. She's got a thing, what's it called? Oh my God, what's it called? I don't know if it's microdermabrasion.
I've heard of that. Belt sander?
If everything's a belt sander. Yeah. It's kind of like... Hydrafacial. Hydrafacial is when she goes over the skin.
It's like a water pick for your face.
And it's like a water. You know what it's like?
What?
It's like a...
power washer?
Close, but it's more like a Hoover. Cleaner. You know when you steam clean a vacuum carpet?
Yeah.
And... That's a whole
right because it sucks up the water at the same time.
Yeah, and that hurts the skin when it feels good.
You know what? You could trick her. Do you have any Elmer's glue?
I don't think so.
Because you could spread like a thin layer of Elmer's glue on your forehead and let it dry, and then peel it off and say, "Is this good?"
Hey.
I used to love doing that when we'd have art projects in elementary school, is the glue on the hand and you peel it off.
So you had mentioned getting to your health now about the lips that he said that was a, what was the solution?
Dehydration
for that
issue.
He said, it's
drink,
dehydration.
Drink. Yeah, he said, okay. You got to drink water. So that's what I'm doing.
All right. And it's still, they're still kind of cracked and chapped, right?
They feel soft to me. You want a close up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh boy, here we go. They're horrible.
Well, I didn't ask you to kiss them.
No, but I mean, it's just, how do you not know that?
I am as God made me.
I know you're as God made you, but I asked you a direct question that you don't seem to be aware of your trappedness.
There's no huge crack. There's no bleeding. There's no
sloughing.
Let me
see again. Get up close again.
No, you've had your privilege. You wasted it,
Josh.
I think he's just used to it. It is what it is for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, one day,
it's just life.
Well, so you found your mark on this show, Rob. That's for sure. Wow. It is what it is for him. Leave him alone. I will leave him alone. I'm glad everybody's straightening out.
How's Josh's blood pressure? We haven't heard on that in a while.
How is your blood pressure?
I haven't taken it in a couple weeks.
That's a good idea.
I think I did? The new medicine started working. And the blood pressure dropped, and I got the lowest number I've ever gotten.
So it was I felt like 16 I won. Over so 4, Mike, was his blood pressure.
I won the game, and I just stopped. I don't need to know anymore.
I have always been blissfully unaware. I know when it's good, like 120 over 80 is where I normally fall. Yeah. Is that good?
That's perfect.
But I never understand it. I've never understood the
equation. I think it is the amount of pressure that the upper number, I could be wrong, but I think it is the upper number is the pressure when your heart is pumping. And the lower number is your blood pressure.
When your heart has stopped.
When it has ceased. No, between the beats. And a lower bottom number is more desirable than, that's the one you want to focus on if you want. Mine
can
came
you,
back.
Can you chat GPT it? What's that?
My last number was 114 over 76.
That's like ideal.
Spectacular.
Yeah.
That was right. April 24th.
Okay.
And he celebrated, Mike, with pretzels and a glass of salt water.
Well, like I said, I won the game. I got my temperature test.
It's systolic and diastolic.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
By the way, that was a radio team that I produced for earlier in my career, back when I was in Connecticut in Hartford.
Would have been a
systolic
good name.
Diastolic show.
It would have been good for the Hardin and Weaver program.
Yeah, it was very, hello. He had high blood pressure. So the systolic is the top number and the diastolic is the bottom number. Am I right about that? I'm trying to figure this out.
I don't know. ChatGPT says normal is 120 over 80.
That's close to my range. Yeah. That's what I've got normal blood pressure.
All right, Mike. The top number, the 120 in this case, is the systolic pressure.
Okay.
And this is the pressure in your arteries when your heart squeezes and pumps the blood out. Think of it as the working pressure the moment your heart contracts.
All right. When it contracts, it squeezes the blood into your veins.
The bottom number is your diastolic. This is the pressure in your arteries when your heart is resting between beats. Think of it as the resting pressure.
When
your heart relaxes
just gets ready to flex again.
Yes, and refills with blood. That would be the 80. This number shows how much pressure remains in your arteries even when the heart isn't actively pumping. And
it's kind of scary when you think about it a lot.
This is and you know what? It's this. You'd think we'd have a better device by now than the cuff.
Well, it's weird that they're measuring your heart on your arm.
Yeah.
I never understand science.
Right.
So, Mike, the simple analogy is heart squeezes is the top number, heart squirts, bottom number. Not squirts. Heart squirts. Relaxes.
Squirts, everybody. Rob, you had mentioned yesterday that you have a new habit. My habit is, as I mentioned before, the ice cream factor.
Yeah.
And I've lost weight, but I've battled the last 20 to 30 pounds because I think I don't will it to happen. And,
it's an ongoing struggle. You know, I can understand because even when you're on a hot streak of dieting, you're programmed to love to eat. It's tough. It's really tough.
Well, the ice cream issue where I could eat it every day. Mm-hmm. I would probably have it for my last meal. And I want to say that I'm making this public because I know it's repetitive. Mm-hmm. I know it will embarrass me. And I know that will motivate me to, straighten up and fly right a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I have to tell you that yesterday was the second day of and Carla doesn't even know this. And by the way, Carla ducked in like with 1 minute to go before we taped with some very juicy details on our sheriff in Lee County that we'll be featuring on the bonus show this afternoon.
Now listen,
we'll do
we're not going to have any
he ain't like
nonsense.
That, pal.
He's not like that. No, okay.
No, Sheriff Carmine Marcino is the name
of
the
guy. Is it true that he's a good boy?
Yeah, we're gonna fix you right up.
So the ice cream factor, two bad days in a row, really, really bad days in a row. Mm-hmm. Was it Monday? Yeah, Monday.
Monday.
Yeah, because Carla worked on Monday, and I was off on Monday, and I was left to my own devices, and that's when I get in trouble. Mm-hmm. When I don't have Mrs. O'Mara in close supervision to give me crap, to give me shit about everything that I'm putting into my body, that's when it gets into a problematic area. So I will tell you, and this is nothing super egregious, but it's ridiculously overeating, and I do this with ice cream more than any other food stuff that I can imagine. I don't find myself binging on anything else.
May I ask a question?
You may.
I know that probably one of the things working against you is you're golfing less. And
Forever 245. That should be a website for me.
Yeah. So I'm like, yeah. I know that you are.
Might want to add 10 to that.
You're
Let's be honest, okay? Really. That's what it was Forever 245 for the better part of 2 years. Now it's been Forever 255 for about way too long. Oh, my God, you froze.
Put the forever in quotation marks.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you're golfing less, that probably gives you more time in the home and more time for temptation. I have to wonder, do the cart girls, I know they often serve drinks.
They don't ever have
like soft serve, do they?
We don't have them.
Oh, you don't?
No.
What if you get really thirsty and then you're like on the fourth
hole? You have a water station.
Ah, okay.
Two places on the golf course.
Okay.
So is this a dry club? You know, like
what? Like no alcohol?
Yeah, like no alcohol. Yeah. I haven't heard of a water station.
It's called Prohibition Corners.
Some courses have cart girls and some don't, mm-hmm. and that's just most of the ones that I've played at don't.
Okay.
And that's kind of a drag.
You know? you could have kept your membership and just been a cart girl to pay fees.
Cart guy. Yeah.
Cart guy.
Either one.
No, he meant what he said.
He
a cart girl.
Dips.
Mike, I've seen you in drag, and I think those years are behind you.
I think that, I've been, I don't want to appear sexist, but
you the, never
idea,
have.
The idea of the cart girl is always the attractive woman that goes around to the male golfers and offers them drinks and and gets tips, and there's always a little moment.
Sales, you get more tips.
And that's and so we had a cart girl at this place. This is 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And she was probably 68 years old.
Oh, dear.
And she, by the way, when she was 28, she probably looked the same. So it was.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, had she sort of, did she look like a granny that owns Tweety Bird?
I think her name was Jody. I think that was her name.
Like Johnny Carson's wife.
And Jody was.
Jody.
And we'd always go, here comes Jody. And it was, it was kind of not what you would think as the prototype.
Well, Jody works as a man's name and as a lady's name. So, I mean, I think it's a great name for anybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But how were those tips?
I don't believe I ordered anything ever.
You didn't partake in Jody's wares?
I believe that
my cart girl you said no to.
I believe that my interaction would essentially be all set.
I couldn't drink another drop.
Oh my goodness gracious! But it is all right. Let me explain what's happened to me today.
Okay.
It's definitely for the first time since I've had this stuff on my face. It's definitely itchier and distractingly so. That's where I'm having a little trouble with focus again on the show.
Rub some ice cream on your face.
Getting back to ice cream.
Cool.
See, he gets me back on track. He gets me back on track. And
you need
I
an abrasive
that.
Ice cream, Mike, like cookies and cream. Vanilla wouldn't do it.
No. Butterfinger crunch would do it.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Well, yeah.
And a little like caramel or something so it sticks.
The place that I go to, have I mentioned it before on the show? The Royal Scoop?
I believe you have in passing, yeah.
I mentioned it because it is a delightful place, and I'm trying to find
it. Is it actually owned by royalty?
No, Rob, of course it's not. That's not funny. I'm actually trying to find the British music here that would go along with that. Now, if you were a prepared person, you knew you were going to talk about this, you might actually no, I don't have it. Damn it. I'm sorry.
The Royal Scoop?
The Royal Scoop, is this an upgrade from the Dairy Queen?
Or Culver's?
Yes.
That is a lie.
Oh, stop it. That's the Dairy Queen lady.
Because the Royal Scoop does not sound like a drive-thru.
It is a standalone ice cream parlor. And it is a chain based in Bonita Springs, Florida, with satellite locations in various parts of Southwest Florida. And to my great joy and my... Hello, and welcome to the Royal Scoop. This place branched out. They branched out, and they are marvelous. They really are.
Oyez,
oyez, the Royal Scoop will now be... So I love the place, and it's right off the exit when I'm coming home, and I dig it. So it's fantastic.
Do they make their own?
They make their own homemade stuff in Bonita Springs, Florida.
It's the best. It's the
and
best.
They have
There's
the best
a place
mint
like
chocolate
that in
chip
Miami.
Ice cream. Yeah. The other day, Mrs. O'Mara and I stopped by. She wanted, we need it. We wanted a treat for Memorial Day. She wanted a cookie. There's a place, I don't know if you have them up north, called Crumble. Have you heard of that joint,
yeah,
Crumble?
Yeah, it's great, and it's not overrated nor overpriced.
It is also now inside the upgraded Tampa Bay stadium.
Okay.
Upper Canna Field has a Crumble cookie inside.
A Crumble cookie, so it's a well-known chain. And then next door to the Crumble, a couple of doors down, is the Royal Scoop. Carla got herself a cookie and a cookie for Michael and his friend Nick, who was sleeping over. And I got
$17.
I got the privilege of going into the Royal Scoop. And I came out and she said, two, because she noticed in the bag that I had two pints.
Oh, okay. So you packed it to go. I thought you would get like a cup or a cone.
I take one as my confection of the day, and then I hide one.
Well, there's if it's ice cream, there's only one place you can hide it. It's
yeah, but I put it conveniently under like a Stouffer's Salisbury steak or something.
Oh,
like
you know what?
A bag
what
if, of vegetables?
Yeah, behind, or put it empty a bag of vegetables and put it in that.
You've never done that.
I never have, but it would work.
That's next level.
That's next. But have you been in a situation? I would imagine in your home, you would have had multiple occasions of food theft. Or people that have taken food that you had kind of counted on. I'm sure that you could not be a spiewak and not experience that type of tension.
A lot of times we'll refer to it the next day. Let's say it is ice cream in this case. And I would get up and I say, hey, Robert, it looks like the ice cream thief came by last night. Yeah, Dad.
Okay, that's friendly.
But he
that's
will
friendly.
Also, but he
in the O'Mara house, it would be like, "What the fuck happened to my mint chocolate chip?"
The only time I ever really got mad at Robert is when we had a red-eye flight back from New Orleans, and I brought in my carry-on a stinky, smelly muffaletta sandwich that I wanted to have the next day.
Ew.
And when I woke up, it was gone. And I mean, that there was a lot of effort
angry?
Put there. Yes, I was angry at that.
Did you wake him up?
No, I don't think. I think
get
he was
up.
Probably at
get
school.
Out of bed. You've eaten my muffaletta.
And Julia won't take any issue with it. She'll label stuff. Do not eat this. Because she's been burned
in your home refrigerator?
Yeah, like an office refrigerator.
So she'll do it like in a college dorm or in an office. That's
but if
good.
It works, it works.
It does.
He's a that's growing it. Boy.
Do not eat this. Will he eat anything that's lying around? You know?
Yeah, a lot. Right. A lot will of times,
eat,
yeah.
Will you eat anything that's lying around?
It depends
not
on
anymore.
The circumstances.
Not now that you're on your new
well,
journey.
Well, sure, yeah.
Right?
I mean, yeah.
I'll tell you, Rob, I agreed with you about the vanilla ice cream that we got at Costco. That was
really
the last
good.
Time I needed
really
an
good.
Intervention. Mm-hmm. Had to stop doing that. I bought that once, the two, what is it, 2 half gallons that
yes,
they sell
a full
in, the,
gallon
in their little
cream.
Box in two the packs, Costco yeah. fat deposit area. By the way, you can go into Costco and have a fat day and just bounce out of there with a cart full of calories like you would not believe.
Well, the frozen section is a really good, it's a hobby. Not only do you have your ice creams and your pops, you've got your frozen mozzarella sticks.
Oh, it's all the bad. I mean, really, loaded preservatives, fat.
Yep.
Yes.
Uh-huh. We just got a garage freezer because we have a split like fridge freezer and you can never fit anything in it.
Yeah.
So the first thing I did was go buy a box of frozen pizzas from Costco.
Oh, they're the best.
They're good.
And a box of those drumstick ice creams.
Also
and
good.
I put those, and my favorite thing is that the kids haven't figured out that there's a garage freezer yet.
But you, metabolically, you don't battle any. You can eat whatever you want, correct?
Yeah, I can eat anything.
What is it about engineering types? No, we've had fat engineers. We've
have
had
we?
Really fat engineers.
Bacardi Limon?
Yes. Oh, and the, you know.
Oh, and before that. Oh, yeah. God
right?
rest his
I mean,
soul.
Oh, yeah.
Safe
so
home.
I've got a full box
smart
of
man,
ice cream cones
politically
out there.
Savvy man.
Yes. Now, what'd you say, Josh? I'm sorry.
So I've got a full box of ice cream cones out there. That I go and eat after I put the kids to bed.
Now, that's so that's a little evil. Do the kids know there's a garage? I know they know there's a garage freezer, but they know there's a garage, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I think really that I equate the garage freezer in Florida with real slave labor. You know what I mean? Like slave labor from the Egyptian era, you know,
how
where
you
the
mean?
Whips and stuff,
what
they're building mean? The pyramids. Because the refrigerators that are in the garages in Florida are out there going, Oh, Jesus. Meanwhile, your new fancy refrigerator inside the home is like, la-da-da, air conditioning's fine. And out in the garage, it's like, oh, I gotta
keep this
cold.
And it's not like you're going to have a brand new one. And my garage refrigerator is a French door, yellow textured General Electric refrigerator.
Right,
it is not a great fridge.
Yeah, no, and they you die.
Send it out to the pasture.
Yeah, I mean, it goes to the garage to die, and eventually it will.
Josh, you know what you need to get? And this, you can get this on Amazon through our link. They have a wireless thermometer system where you can put one sensor in your fridge and one in your freezer, and then you know that you're always at the optimal temperature, because what's going to happen? Because if your food goes above 40 degrees, you're going to die.
Slow down, sorry. You mean on the unit itself?
He means he keeps track of the temperature of his fridge and his freezers.
Yes, of course you do.
The internal temperature.
Whoa, wait. Is it on the outside of the –
No, this is an add-on. You buy this, and then there is a sensor.
Hold on. Slow down.
All right.
Because no one does this.
No one does this.
No one.
I've given this a gift to four different people. They all adore it.
Well, then they're all dorks like you.
Well,
okay.
Does it connect to your phone?
It does not, but you don't have to put the reading on the fridge. You can bring the reader around with you.
I need you to slow down.
Hold on. I'm going to show it to you. Hold on.
You need to explain
how excited
he gets. He gets so excited for this dorkdom.
Even in the fridge or the freezer, there's never a temperature thing. It's just a little dial, like 1 to 5.
You dial it. And you know if things are not the right temperature, because things either frost over or they melt.
And you never touch it again.
You never go near it.
No. My fridge does do this annoying thing where if we have a power blip, it'll then like start beeping to let you know, hey, the food might have gone bad.
Oh, smart fridge, yeah.
But power's never out long enough for the food to go bad.
So what is this Alton Brown device that you have?
It's not an Alton Brown device. This is my own discovery. And I want you to know, before we proceed, of the three of us, I'm the only one that is a certified kitchen manager. All right? So I know my stuff. Twice I've taken the test.
That's the fruitcake. That's from
Twice I've passed. Yes. But it involves this. You buy the brand is Accurite, and you put a small sensor in your refrigerator, and you put another small sensor in your freezer. And it's battery operated. Batteries last forever because you buy super. I think it's like a there's a certain kind of battery that does well in cold. And this
and
is
that's
important.
A trick. You put your batteries in.
He was an overweight alcoholic who just happened to be one of the greatest pure passers in NFL history.
I don't know why I played that one.
I think I know. Here's what's important, especially with a garage fridge. A garage fridge has to work extra hard because it's not in the climate-controlled home. So you want to make sure it doesn't freeze up. Mike, right now, because of that sensor, this I keep on my fridge, but I could carry it around the house. Look, I have my freezer's at -7 degrees and my refrigerator's at 34 degrees.
Is that -7 a little too cold?
No. You have to be in food standards.
Sub-zero.
You're supposed to be under zero in your freezer and under 40 in your
fridge.
But you
just had to be freezing or lower.
Well, no. I mean, if you do that, you're going to have soft ice cream. You're going to get frost. You want it cold as can be. But sub-zero is okay. And then a sub-40 in your refrigerated compartment. Now, I mean, if you just have like sodas and beers.
I remember when I was sub-40. Man, oh, man.
Didn't you serve on sub-40?
Oh, I'm just remembering. I just remember those days. God, I was a
It also has little, memory you know? And all that stuff. You don't need it. But I love
Where
looking
do you
at the
put
temperature
the
every-
stick?
This thing or the
no? Where
sensor?
Do you put the? How do you? That looks like something that goes on the outside.
It does, but you can also carry it around in your pocket.
Well,
if
how
you
does
want.
It work?
It, Mike.
Well, you walk into your freezer.
No, you don't walk into your freezer.
Where do you put the thing?
Anywhere in the fridge, and you know it's got like a little lanyard
what
on
is
the top
inside
of it.
Right, the freezer.
Here, I found the stick.
Oh, there exactly. they are. They're yeah. the so sticks,
and they have like a little lanyard on top, and I put it on the back. I thread it over.
You can also take your body temperature with that rectally.
Yes. As a matter of fact, Mike, you have two sensors. One goes in your mouth.
Right. One goes in your ass.
Do you ever move the sensor around to make sure that your entire fridge is the right temperature?
I don't.
You're like feeding him right now.
I do keep it high in both compartments, though, because that's going to be the warmest part.
Who gives two F's about that?
Good.
Really?
You go drink rotten milk. You go eat soft ice cream.
I count on my refrigerator keeping things at the right temperature. I'm not paranoid about it.
Mike?
If my ice cream is soft, I go buy a new freezer. because it's broken.
Well, if it stays soft for 4 hours or more, you need to actually get one of these Accurites.
I mean, if things are not frozen in your freezer or things are not working. I mean, otherwise, just let it go. Well, you don't need the exact temperature.
Now,
it's going to kill you.
I would be concerned that the vegetable drawer might be a little warmer, so I'd move that sensor occasionally.
Well, I don't keep vegetables in the garage fridge. Do you?
Well, no, you said that's you have one in the fridge and in your freezer.
Yeah,
I don't keep vegetables in the garage.
Well, I do. I actually have an Accurite. I have an Accurite upstairs.
What
as
do
well.
You keep in your garage fridge? Soda pops,
beers for when my mom comes over.
Did you have to throw a lot of them away after the Beaties got you again?
Not with Robert there.
No,
oh, Robert will drink them.
Yeah, yeah. And Mrs. Spiewak enjoys her Coca-Cola. So, no, we didn't throw any away. What else do we have?
I said, hey, Sawbones, I'm just carrying on an old family tradition.
We have some champagne and wine in there, so it's ready to serve if we ever need champagne.
It's a beverage freezer. Beverage. Yeah, we use it for beverages.
But the freezer we use for Costco overload. You know, because the
frozen pizzas,
things like that, a lasagna,
ice cream,
yeah,
a lasagna, a sure. whole lasagna,
Johnny Pops, you can eat.
Can I get back to my ice cream discussion,
Elton? The chocolate covered Johnny Pops,
they're really
Johnny
good.
Johnny Pops,
but the new, the rainbow ones are really good, Josh. They're
Johnny
really
Pops,
good.
Great overnight disc jockey at WYRE, fantastic. It's the Johnny Pops get together. How you doing? Coming up a little later, we got an exclusive syndicated interview with Rita Mulder. Johnny Pops with you, ladies and gentlemen. How you
need,
doing?
You need a fridge thermometer. For
Midnight
your own safety.
At the Oasis.
Oh, Maria Muldaur.
Maria Muldaur. Sorry about that. Yes. What did I say?
It wasn't Maria.
Mary Muldaur. All right. Getting back to the ice cream, if I may, please. So Memorial Day, within a 24-hour period, I consumed two of the pints. One during the day, and then late at night when Carla went to bed, I consumed another one.
That is not
too much ice cream
that
for
is
anyone.
Nothing to be ashamed of, Mike. Yeah. I've done
late night ice cream is pretty special.
It's disgusting.
No, it's not.
It's disgusting. It does not make you feel good. It makes you feel. Speaking of dehydration, I think there's Gribbles in it and salt and whatever that does. I did not feel my best.
How did you feel during eating it?
The first time.
And what was the it was chocolate chip mint, of course.
Mint chocolate chip. Uh-huh. When I have gotten off the highway after a long drive and I put that in my car and I plan on eating it before I go home and I pull off of the roadway to a parking lot under a tree with shade and
how bucolic.
You know, I just I make love to it. I make love to my pint.
Do you?
Do you use a spoon?
Yeah, or is it the thing when you drink it?
I use a plastic spoon that I get from the Royal Scoop.
Do they have the color changing spoons?
No, they have no. They're very basic, inexpensive plastic spoons. And if you're not really careful, you can, sever one if you're too overzealous trying to get the first big bite.
Well, that you should upgrade to keep a metal spoon in the car.
Carla says I'm sick. You are sick. Yes, I am.
I don't think Subaru offers a spoon option. But
I am aware. Yeah. I'm very much aware of the problem because Carla does not know this. That
she's listening right now, just so you know.
Yes.
Okay.
You know what? I have to correct this. So the pint was consumed yesterday, 2 days ago, rather, on Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
And then yesterday... I got done with the, I got done with the show. Yes. Mm-hmm. I got done with the show. We taped at 4 o'clock yesterday.
Yes.
And at the conclusion of the show, I actually ate my ice cream. I know it sometime during the day. I'm trying to remember it. And then after
I would
Little
guess
League,
before the show, because you had to,
probably
you got out of here
before
pretty quick.
The show. You're right. Probably before the show, and then immediately after the show, I had to bust ass down to Little League practice and take my kid down there. And Carla met me down there, and we watched about an hour of Michael's practice, and then we had dinner together, and then we split up. She went home, and I waited for Michael to finish practice. Mm-hmm. On the way home, Michael informed me that Mickey D's, Josh will probably know this, has new, refresher drinks. that the McDonald's has. Yeah. You're aware.
I've seen the ad. Yes.
I know you'd be aware of that. You are a pop culture reporter. Yes,
that's their new health food program, right?
Yeah. It's a lot of these fast food places. They've all rolled out refreshers.
They're all going to these refreshers for summertime. And I took the opportunity when Michael was very, very adamant that he wanted to try one of these. And he'd been out in 94 degree heat running his ass off. Yeah. I said, I went along with it. Carla's going to be mad at that, too. She's listening right now.
I haven't had the McDonald's refreshers. Are they the ones with Red Bull?
Do they really have Red Bull?
I think the Panera ones do, and I think the Starbucks ones do.
Well,
Panera is a disaster. Don't go there.
Michael wanted the refresher. And I took the opportunity to purchase the most expensive confection. That would be the M&M McFlurry, which, by the way, if you check the calories on it, I believe the most calorie-rich product that is offered in the McDonald's ice cream lineup.
And they
more than a sundae. I believe it's more than an Oreo McFlurry. It is the Mac. He had one with me. He got you. Oh my God!
Oh, you were playing.
You were playing.
He played you both.
Yeah, yeah.
He probably ratted you out too.
Both sides against the middle.
So, anyway.
Do you think, Mike? Well, congratulations on finding a McDonald's that had the McFlurry machine working. That is in its own.
I don't know if that scam is still going with Mickey D's. It's been a long time since I've been to a McDonald's where they said, remember we had the whole controversy that we did on the show with the fact that McDonald's owns the company that repairs them?
Yeah,
they make more money by repairing them than they do by serving the ice cream. Mm-hmm. Incredible conspiracy.
How much, un-American. When you go to the Royal Scoop, how much is a pint of ice cream? I'm just curious because I know basically what premium ice cream goes for at the grocery
store. Ridiculous.
Oh, I'm sure. May I guess?
I don't remember, but I think I'll tell you if you're in the ballpark.
I believe there's a boutique ice cream place in Miami that is called Amy's, and they make their own, and it's fantastic, but it's $12 a pint.
A little less than that, but you're in the same ballpark.
Buy two, get one free, though.
Oh, okay. Well, so, that's $6 a pint.
Well, no, that would be $12 a pint still. No, 24, that would be 12.
If you got one for free and paid $12, it'd be $6 a pint.
No, no, you have to buy two, so it averages out to $8 a pint.
Better than what it was before.
But also,
why would it be $8 a pint?
Because you spend $36, and then you get one free, and that's
three. Oh, you have to buy two at $12 to get one third free?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck them.
Well,
excuse me. You might notice that we are being a little more ribald on the show. My apologies. I'm not going to do that regularly, but we are not restricted by that.
Go figure that out on your own. That is a pretty brilliant sales scheme because $8 is still too much, and it gets you to buy that third pint.
It is. But walking out of an ice cream store dropping $36, which is the price of like a fast food meal for two.
Hopefully for two, yeah.
That's not good. No. So I'm here to say that I'm doing it myself. I am on it. If Mrs. O'Meara is listening, you should know I'm very much aware of that.
Is there any ice cream in the house right now?
No.
Not even the Costco vanilla is gone?
Oh, that's been gone for months.
Oh,
for a month at least. I remember I talked about that about a month ago.
Yeah.
What's that?
That's why you're shaking. No ice cream.
No, I have to.
You have no hidden ice cream?
No.
Okay, good. Then you can do this.
I
have ice cream. It's not hidden. Mm-hmm. I'm not going
to
eat it.
Have you ever had to hide ice cream?
No, I don't hide a lot of things. I mean, I've got food. It's going to be there. So,
Rob, you want to place a bet this week? Can Mike last the whole week without an ice cream?
I say he can.
Are you going you're going to go Wednesday to Wednesday?
Wednesday to Wednesday. There's going to be a weekend.
Okay, let me ask this question. I know I'm envisioning with so we've got districts, I believe, this weekend,
Josh. Or we can go a different route with this, where we can pick which day you're going to fail.
Oh, when he breaks. Yeah.
I have a question.
Shoot.
Yes.
Can I ask this question? At districts, if the lady with the frozen sorbet... the coconut sorbet, does that count?
Jody? Yeah. Is her
name
Jody?
You're going to have to say no.
I'm going to have to say no. Okay. Yeah. All right. So I go Wednesday to Wednesday without ice cream. Make a mental note. you can check with me on Wednesday. I will. By the way, I've gone to these tournaments.
You'll let us know Monday.
What?
You'll let us know Monday.
Yeah. You might text over the weekend. Yeah.
Rob's worked with me a long time. You watch me when I dig my heels in.
Yeah.
You watch me. Right, Rob?
But the thing is, you don't have a financial interest in this. So you're not invested. What did you want to bet, Josh? Like a $10 Costco gift card?
Yeah, like a working pint.
A working pint? That doesn't benefit me.
No.
So the bet is, you always have to have something for
what about popsicles?
No, I don't think the bet payoff is ice cream when it's a
bet about who
cannot eat ice cream.
Popsicles count as a violation?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. By the way,
what if they're all fruit?
Yeah.
Since somebody's mentioning it, Rob, do you have both a non-working and a working half gallon in your house right now?
I do. Yeah.
I do.
I do. Yeah. You might need it. For example, let's say
no, working pints are not. You can't work when they're going
that
quickly.
Oh, a pint is a single serving.
That's the way it goes.
Let's say someone in your house decides to make brownies. That's great. Love brownies. But
who would make the? Let's say someone in your with the initials RS.
Yeah, but also JS and also CS occasionally. Now,
Julia.
Yeah.
And Carrie makes them occasionally.
Yeah, but you see, I don't want to mislead anybody. I'm the one who buys the brownie mix, and it's there and ready to go. It's sort of like baiting the trap. But if someone makes brownies, it's a big box of it. So, it's several batches.
You can't do this anymore, though.
I can't.
You shouldn't have a working pint in your house anymore with the doctor's.
Well, no, Mike, I can control it. You think it's hard to avoid sugar? I gave up booze.
Why don't you talk down? Why don't you say that and direct that down towards your left leg?
Yeah, it's better. Thanks for asking.
I hate it when you get quiet when I do this.
I want everyone to hear you laugh. I want to have everyone hear your mirthless laughter.
It's suddenly
celebrating
real.
My fails.
Oh my God.
But I mean, ever since when I gave up drinking, we still had beer and wine and stuff in the house. I never touched it. That's much more tempting than sugar.
That's very nice. That's very
And
clever.
You know what? Eventually the ice cream will go. And then I won't replace it.
It's fantastic stuff, though. I will always agree with you. And I disagreed for a long time. I said, there's no way that can be good. And then it ended up being fantastic.
Yeah, I'd like to
run out and get some right after the show today. I really would.
Come to my house. I'll give you a non-working half gallon.
Oh, that's generous. Yes, so you can donate it to people. We got to take a break.
And Mike, know that it's great because it's being kept at -7 degrees.
All right, there you go.
Don't touch it.
Right here. I know, you're not supposed to touch it. It's -7 degrees.
Yeah, it's good ice cream.
Short break. We're going to come back with some tidbits for you, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Thank you. Thank you very, very, very much.
Here's a quick message from today's sponsor, the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. If you've ever owned a pet, you know they run on their own logic. Jump first, think later. Ask questions, never. I've got dogs, so I know this is true. It's part of what makes them so lovable. But it's also how you end up with those surprise vet visits you didn't see coming. ASPCA Pet Health Insurance helps cover eligible vet expenses. So when those moments happen, you can focus on getting them the care they need without overthinking the cost or second-guessing your decision. When you enroll in an ASPCA Pet Health Insurance plan, you could even get a $25 Amazon gift card. It's a little treat for you while you're doing something great for your pet. The program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier to get your pet the care they may need. Who's a good boy? You are. If you enroll in the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Plan, it's been around for almost 20 years and has covered nearly 1 million pets in that time. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/TMOS. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/TMOS. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit aspcapetinsurance.com/Amazon terms for more info. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. And Josh, just text me what else I have to do on the show today so I know what's going on with the
You should have the same copy from yesterday.
So, okay, very good. I will do that. It's time for news, everybody. Let's begin with some real news. The Pentagon confirmed the U.S. military conducted self-defense airstrikes in southern Iran, sinking two Iranian vessels allegedly attempting to lay mines in the Strait of Hormuz. This, I know I shouldn't laugh about anything when it comes to warfare, but when it's the Iranians doing this, it kind of means that we won. Let me tell you why. In immediate retaliation, Iran's Revolutionary Guard announced they successfully shot down an American Reaper drone that entered their airspace. Now, to me, if we're blowing a couple of vessels out of the water where guys have to jump overboard and all that, and blowing that up real good while they're laying mines, and then they shoot down one of our little robots, I think it's advantage U.S. That's
the amazing thing is the drone was actually owned by a real estate agent. He was trying to get beautiful shots of caves and sand.
Oh, look at that roof. diplomatic talks in Qatar are ongoing, but military officials on both sides warn that further retaliatory strikes are imminent. So, you know, I don't know what to think. Nobody knows what to think.
No,
it's just ongoing, and it sucks.
All I know is that everything we hear is the truth.
This will not apply to Mr. Josh Soroka, but let me just say to all of my Democratic friends, be afraid. Be very afraid. All right? Listen to this. A major Republican incumbent has just been ousted in a high-stakes primary. In a historic Texas Senate runoff election, Attorney General Ken Paxton, noted ass, has defeated longtime incumbent Senator John Cornyn, one of the longest-serving Republicans, you know, kind of went along with the party line. He was backed, this guy Paxton, by an endorsement from Donald Trump. His victory effectively ends Cornyn's four-decade tenure in Texas politics. Paxton will now advance to the general election to face Democratic state representatives, not two, one of them, James Tallarico.
Yes.
Who's a pretty good candidate. It's going to be.
Right.
But the reason be afraid, be very afraid, is that, you know, the king is, you know, pressing guys on the forehead and they're winning. That's the way this seems to be going, you know?
118 endorsements by Trump won, they said, for the primaries.
Yes, 118. That's pretty significant.
Does it boggle your mind, though, that it's still working?
It scares the crap out of me.
Yeah, me too.
It scares the crap out. But, I mean, if you talk to people like him, they haven't changed their mind.
People that do my own research.
They you know, you don't do your own. You get your Fox talking points. You get it all from Fox. It's all BS.
No,
it's all
not
BS.
True.
Don't lie to me.
None of it's true.
But anyway.
He gets all of his stuff from Paxton.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. You know. No, that's what, you know, be afraid. Be very afraid. I don't know.
Be afraid.
I don't know. Yes,
hey,
what?
Mike, this just in. This just in. Donald Trump endorses this show. So everybody listen.
By the way, nothing is going to change if they win the midterms. It's not. It's just going to be more of the same. But I don't think there's going to be, you know, these Democrats that like to come out and say there's going to be a sea change. Do I hope so? With all my heart. Do I think it's going to happen? You know, now, what they're saying is that these more radical right candidates are going to have a more difficult go in the general election.
Right.
I don't know if that's true.
Hard to say. I don't think we've ever been in a place like we are right now.
Yeah. And I'm afraid. Be very afraid.
How's your boy doing?
Graham is doing, I think, I haven't looked at the latest Real Clear Politics, which is the polling that I look at. I think he had a decent lead the last time I checked. And he's, Maine is definitely an outlier kind of state.
Yeah.
As many New England states outside of Connecticut are. So I think you've got a different go, but we'll have to wait and see what happens.
According to his website, Graham has unswollen hands and has not yet fallen asleep at a meeting.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you for the update. A bitter war of words has erupted with the comedy community following Netflix live broadcast of the roast of Kevin Hart.
Okay.
This continues to be in the news. The special has ignited a fierce public feud between veteran comedian Chelsea Handler and fellow stand-ups Shane Gillis and Tony Hinchcliffe over where to draw the line in modern roast humor. Here are the jokes that sparked the backlash. The controversy stems from a dark, highly controversial, and often racially charged punchline delivered during the live special. Key moments included Tony Hinchcliffe. There he is again. Number one podcast in the nation, ladies. All these things contribute to me believing we are in a different world now.
Yeah.
And you know, be look, I'm not saying be afraid, but this is the reality we're living.
See, you've the got, regression. We are regressing.
You've got comedians doing racist, bigoted humor, and that's the pendulum. Mm-hmm. Because for a long time, it was, you know, left-wing liberal comedians that would do it. Now you've got it all the way back. So Tony Hinchcliffe at the roast invoked George Floyd in a joke about the black community. Shane Gillis faced criticism for a joke regarding the lynching of black people. And, you know, and nobody did anything at that, but not that they're going to do it in that forum. On Dion Cole's Funny Knowing You podcast, I don't know that one.
I don't either.
I don't know if you're aware of it. Handler said the two were racist and that they're bigots and they're sexist and they think they're like invincible. Handler said that one of Gillis's jokes about lynching Hart was worse than rape. In response, Gillis told The Hollywood Reporter in a statement that Handler was capitalizing on the moment. On Monday's episode of Kill Tony, Hinchcliffe responded to Handler's remark by calling her a bit of a C. So there you have it.
That's a good punchline.
Yeah.
The thing about the roast, it used to be
where our culture is right now. Bigotry, but sexism,
But she said that words and a joke is as bad as rape. And I think that softens the whole thing.
I think she does not help her cause by saying that. I think calling them out is a different story, but I think you're absolutely right about that.
I misinterpreted it. I thought she was saying it was bad as joking about rape. And not an actual
maybe
rape.
It was. You'll have to, you know, I'm just giving you the information that I
the
have.
Thing, I think that the roast has, the ship has sailed. It had its novelty. For years and years, it was a closed-door affair that no one was allowed to be at except the participants.
You think they're manufacturing this controversy to keep the format
100%.
Alive?
And also, I think this, the rules of the old roast was you target the person you're roasting, not hurting the person you're roasting or lynching them or anything like that.
I watched significant chunks of that roast. Yeah. I watch,
and more people will because of this story.
Yeah, and I watch Kill Tony as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult to enumerate the number of edgy, over the line jokes. And I think that when you're talking about comedy, there are different rules. And I think that when you've got somebody doing this, what are they like in real life? I don't know. I can't make that call. Mm-hmm. But on the now that's my analysis on comedy. But let me finish. That's comedy, the world of comedy. I've always said joke reality and real reality, two different things. However, the overwhelming popularity of this kind of material from Shane Gillis and from Tony Hinchcliffe is a result of where our collective heads are at right now. And it's not where it used to be.
You're right.
It's not when we had, you know, racism and bigotry down below, where in my humble opinion it belongs. You know, now it's out for everybody to say, fine to do that. That's funny if you want to say that.
They found their outlet, yeah.
Yep. Well, I think we went to one extreme to now the other, and it'll settle out in the middle.
I would say that an extreme
we'll know
against
in the midterms, I think that'll be a good example of whether
going
it
to an extreme against racism is okay with me.
I think going to an extreme against racism is okay with me too. And I think with Shane Gillis, you know, he's a repeat offender. He's done it a lot. He's also a very funny comedian. Done some of the best stuff I've ever seen on controversial
stuff.
Wasn't
subjects. He hired and fired from Saturday
Night,
Night
Live and then ended up hosting?
So. Yeah,
he ended up hosting.
But it is because that world of comedy is different, which is why, like, the Kill Tony podcast, you mentioned it's huge. and it has people on there of all different types and races and everything.
Yeah, they do. They do. So absolutely.
Once you're in that comedy world, it's right now, at least, it's all accepted.
It's accepted. And I mean, I don't watch any of these podcasts sustained. I don't watch them from start to finish. Mm-hmm. But the clips that I do see are, occasionally, yes, they're edgy, but they're funny.
Yeah.
You can't argue with funny. Funny is funny. At the same time, Tony Hinchcliffe goes on stage at a Trump rally and says Puerto Rico's a pile of garbage. That's not funny.
No.
That's doing it for the shock. Right. Big difference between doing it for the shock and making a funny comment in the moment.
But
that's
I think this whole thing is manufactured because Chelsea Handler comes from that comedy world. He knows that.
She knows that.
So this Chelsea is manufactured Handler, for attention.
And Chelsea knows how to work the media. She
went on the roast and she fought back. And I think as somebody who, I don't like racists, I don't like bigots. And I like seeing those guys get called out on it as well. But in the comedy world, we'll see. I believe the popularity of shows like this represent a change in the mindset of America and where we are right now. I hope that the racists will be put back in line to a degree. I really do. For the non-funny racism, not making a joke. Not that any racism is funny, but when you make an edgy joke about race, I mean, go look at Don Rickles. Go back and look at it forever.
Right.
We make stereotypical jokes. That's the way it's gone. What were you going to say, Rob?
I was going to say the longer we bottle it up, the longer we can suppress it, the more generations will find it horrifying too. But right now we're at a place where it's somehow, and it's been only in the last 20 years, where it's become more accepted because there's outlets for it. And it's sad. It's very sad.
But
where we
here's
are.
Here's the thing. When you're talking about comedy and you're talking about the reality of comedy and the world of comedy, comedy is a different animal. It's a different animal. It's always
been. I agree.
And anybody, there are a lot of people like me that the walk I walk, the practice of my life and the way I look at my life and the way I look at my interactions with people would not jive with some of the jokes I have made and laughed at in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because comedy to me is separate. And I just think it should be separate. It really, really should. So wait and see where the shoe drops. I also think that when you got guys marching in Charlottesville, they will not replace us. That's scary. Because it can go too far. And look what happens when it goes too far. If you don't think I'm right about this, and I'll tell you, we've got a lot of people out there, these childless guys that are out there supporting some of these podcasts.
Hey, I've got four.
They're out there. What's that?
I've got children.
But what do the children support?
I understand. Let's move on, shall we?
Yes.
A massive shakeup is rocking a premium television production today, and one that I like a lot. Reports from Variety indicate that actor Tom Hardy has been abruptly fired from the Paramount Plus series Mobland. Great TV show. Great TV show, and he's a big part of it. After two seasons, he's gone. Production insiders claim that he was removed following intense on-set friction with executive producers, frequent filming delays, and unapproved script rewrites. Representatives for the actor have not yet commented on the sudden exit. He looks like maybe he's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, doesn't he sort of have a reputation that precedes him?
I think he's prickly. Yeah.
But at the same time, let's see how the show does without him.
Yeah. Oh, well, because you got Pierce Brosnan and you got Helen Mirren. You got some people that can carry that show.
You know who they should replace him with that would really give the show some sizzle is Dana the Charge Nurse.
Thank you. From the pit, if you have a lead foot in New York City, your car might be about to put you in a permanent timeout. New York Governor Kathy Hochul announced an aggressive new crackdown targeting super speeders.
Yeah,
we have that down here, too.
Yeah.
Drivers who rack up 16 or more camera tickets in a single year. Under the new mandate, habitual offenders will be legally forced to install physical speed limiting devices directly inside their vehicles. Commuters are already joking that the city has officially invented the motorized equivalent of a dunce cap for bad drivers.
Well, pretty funny.
Federal to already pass the law, like when Joe Biden was president, where you have to, by 2030, have a chip in the car so they can shut them off when these things happen.
And I think that down here, I forgot, it's really bad. Super speeders is a law down in Florida, too, where
I'm pretty sure you do automatic jail time if you are like ridiculously over the speed limit.
It's too bad you guys don't live in D.C. where there is so much traffic you can't speed.
You can't
it's
speed.
Physically it's impossible. Impossible.
There. Finally, a high-end adult novelty shop in downtown Vancouver.
Hold it, Mike. It's high-end. I want to make sure we're getting the right picture
just
of it.
Just the
here.
Best, Rob. Only, only the best. A high-end adult novelty shop in downtown Vancouver was forced to completely shut its doors yesterday.
So sad.
For what management is calling an unprecedented inventory malfunction.
Oh, I'm listening.
According to local reports, a premium industrial-sized display tank filled with premium silicone-based anal lube suddenly ruptured.
A tank?
Sending over 50 gallons of slick medical-grade lubricant flooding across the showroom floor. Witnesses say the scene quickly turned into a slapstick nightmare, with employees wiping out left and right like newborn giraffes on ice. Emergency crews had to be called in, not because anyone was hurt, but because the staff literally could not traction their way out of the store.
Wow.
Firefighters eventually had to lay down a literal runway of cat litter just to rescue the manager. Why the cat liver, litter?
Yes.
The cat litter because, of course, we all know that cats don't like anal. There you go.
Now, I have to wonder, for the tank, is it like a come in and fill your own vessel thing?
You know what? You'll have to go to Vancouver, and once they reopen, see what's going on. Yeah, they have it up there, right?
May I have 10 seconds? I'd like to tell a story. A guy goes into a high-end place like that, and he's very embarrassed. He says, I've never been here before. I've never bought anything like this before, but I'm interested in buying a dildo. And the guy says, hey, that's cool. You know, everyone starts somewhere. You probably, you know, this whole wall is all good. So you may want to start, you know, more conservative, but anything on this wall will be good for you. He says, okay, I'll take the red one. He said, that's the fire extinguisher.
Bada bing. Very good. Thank you. That's Rob Spiewak, ladies
Thank you.
And gentlemen.
Good night.
We're going to talk about some biblical history in a second here.
I can't
but first,
wait.
Do you ever hit that point in the day where your brain says, yeah, we're done here?
Yeah.
That's exactly why I want to tell you about Soul Out of Office THC gummies and drinks. Rob, Josh, am I doing the right one here?
Sure. That works.
That's like a man who hasn't sold advertising in 12 months. That's
no, I think what he's talking about is the order of them.
No,
the order doesn't matter.
The order doesn't matter.
Okay.
The copy is right, yeah.
I've got one.
And you should have two others.
Two, three, four.
Yeah.
I've got Amazon. I've got Rula.
We started with the Amazon.
We start
so
with
gotta
Amazon.
You're going to do Soul and Rula and Omaha.
Soul, Rula, and Omaha. All right. I think I've got the wrong copy, though. So I've got to go over here and see where I am.
Well, what do you have?
He's looking. Right. You see, Josh, the fire extinguisher was not really for sale. It was for the safety of the people at the
Amazon
store.
You know, it makes a big difference on the show. You know that.
Huge.
The TMOS Amazon portal is back, baby. It's easy, free, and honestly, you're probably shopping on Amazon anyway. Click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop. That's it. Seriously. You shop, we benefit, everybody wins. You can also check out our favorite stuff, electronics, seeds, slide whistles, and whatever else seemed like a good idea at the time in the middle of the night.
Like this thermometer, Mike.
Shopping.
Everyone should buy this thermometer.
What's it called?
It is the Accurite fridge thermometer. It'll be under my favorite things
it's
today.
It's not the Accurite fridge thermometer, is it?
Accurite refrigerator thermometer.
Thank you.
Don't get the Accu wrong.
Shop,
that
support,
was
repeat. And thanks for helping keep the chaos alive. We love you for it. Amazon, Amazon, Amazon. All right, it's time to talk about biblical history.
Yes.
I think one of the greatest stories in the Bible, really one of the all-time greats, probably in the top three,
yeah,
if not the best one of all, is the story of the animals two by two that hopped on a big boat and went
you
to
grew
sea.
Up, you grew up on the water.
The best story is destroying the world.
Yeah. What's that? What?
You grew up on the water, Mike. That's why you like the boat story.
Okay, but I was asking him, the world. I heard that at the end.
That's the best story. The best story is the one where God destroyed the world.
Yeah.
God destroyed the world. Well, God was destroyed. Oh, he did destroy the world.
Yep.
Yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. I get it. I get
But
jokes.
What was But what's interesting is all of these old biblical texts, Christian or not, all talk about this great flood. And for like almost 75 years or something, there's been a weird hill on the side of a mountain where they said that looks like a boat. It looks like a giant ark. And it's on Mount Ararat, I believe it is, in Turkey.
Okay. Ararat.
And Ararat.
It's Mount Ararat, yeah. Josh.
That's fine. It's in Turkey.
Okay.
And
that's fine.
They haven't had the technology to really examine it, but now they have been able to this year with radar. And they scan the thing with radar, and it shows a tunnel down the middle and different like cage areas where they can see under the ground that there's a man-made structure with tunnels and living quarters and everything.
You mean like radar. It's real?
Like it's real. And you now believe- they're working on approving to get a tiny robot that can climb inside with cameras that can go down in the hole and go down because they don't want to dig these things up, but they want to examine it.
They really should send two robots, a male and a female.
There you go. Robot!
Robot.
Are you excited by this development?
Well, I think it's always, I think there's lots of proof for scripture, but I think it's always cool when we're able to find something now and use technology of 2026 to prove something from 4,000 years ago.
Can you compare this discovery to another discovery that has proved scripture?
Normally it is finding, normally the history of comparing scripture is they'll find like the Dead Sea Scrolls and they'll find these really old scrolls and they match scripture exactly, like word for word.
But haven't they also found some of them to be fake? Like the Shroud of Turin, wasn't that proven to be fake because of atomic aging?
Yeah, but I don't think that had anything to do with the Bible. That was the thing where they said it was like Jesus's face on it or something.
Yeah, well, it was to be his shroud. I mean, from when he was dead,
Yeah, that wasn't considered proof.
Okay.
Because it was
I thought the Shroud of Turin was what Lady Gaga wore when she went out on stage for her first concert.
That's what Josh called it. She was had big U.S. and she was Turin everywhere.
you don't believe there was really a Noah's Ark, do you?
100%. And I think that this is, and that's why I think this is cool because what else would it be if it's not Noah's Ark?
You don't think that perhaps the Great Flood is an allegory for something, symbolic of, you know, saving your own, and maybe the boat came in as like a convenient plot. Do you believe Jonah was swallowed by a whale?
Because the Bible mentions dimensions, and this
cubits
in Turkey matches the dimensions exactly. It's 515 feet.
If it was that long ago, don't you think it would be dust by now?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Unless they made it out of the really good wood.
Why wouldn't it be petrified? Why wouldn't it be petrified wood like we find with like dinosaur stuff and all?
I fossilized.
Fossilized. There's
there's petrified wood. So you're telling me that this, they found it on what?
I'm telling you, they found this in Turkey a long time ago. They kept an eye on it thinking maybe it's the Ark. Now they have technology to kind of scan it and measure it, and it's all lining up to look like the Ark, and now they're going to send robots inside to see if there's like animal cages and everything inside.
And if they're not animal cages, what are you going to think? No, there won't be animal cages because they were probably made of wood too.
Right. Yeah, I think like a paddock. Yeah, like a stable. Yeah. I saw one image that they used like a powerful X-ray sort of scanner Doppler thing, and it turns out that the name of the boat was the MSC Seaside.
They also took a bunch of soil samples.
Sure.
To like show that it was.
Were they looking for scat?
That it was. It's official.
I have achieved this. The itchy phase.
Oh, stop it, Mike. You're fine.
Oh my God. Well, no. I really don't know what to say. I'm really out on my debate. I've always felt this way about all these things that we don't know about. You know, when you say 100%. I mean, I'm really glad that you have that kind of belief. Yeah, I really am.
It's but healthy, I think.
I think, healthy to say 100%?
If you have that kind of faith, I think that's purity in your mind.
No, I don't think necessarily blind faith is a good thing.
It's a great band, though.
There are a lot of...
There are a lot of people that have been murdered over that faith.
Well, if you use
in history, okay? So let me finish.
But that's not faith that murdered people. That's people that murdered people.
Yeah, but it's also people basing it on their faith. I'm going to kill that guy because he doesn't believe in what I say. That's the stuff that scares the crap out of me. I do. Yeah. At the same time, when you talk about things like Noah's Ark and, you know, who am I to say what really happened? I have no clue what really happened back in the day. I don't necessarily believe the Bible is an accurate representation of what happened. Mm-hmm. Just a bunch of guys that wrote a book. But who's to say that they didn't write a book based on what was true at the time? I don't know. It's just I feel the same way about things like Noah's Ark as I do about UFOs, with a little more belief in UFOs.
And Santa Claus.
Santa Claus is the same
about Webster's Dictionary. Just a bunch of guys that wrote a book.
No, we know. Well, I mean, anyone listening to this show since you've been on would know you hate the dictionary.
Right, who says that's how you pronounce things?
Wouldn't it be? Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool?
I'd love it.
Wouldn't it be cool if it was verified and then it became this thing where all these things became validated?
I don't think.
Do you think the Bible Museum in D.C. could get it?
Do they have a Bible Museum?
Oh, yeah. Big deal.
The Bible Museum's look pretty impressive.
Is that like the Holy Land Amusement Park?
I don't know. I've never been to that one.
Isn't there a Holy Land Amusement Park?
I'm sure you would know that, Josh,
wouldn't you?
There used to be something in like Virginia.
Okay.
There used to be something because I remember going as like a kid and visiting like a school field trip.
Yeah.
I remember the temple. The big roller coaster was called the Crucifier.
What a great name. What a great name for that, you know? Hey, do you want to ride the Crucifier first, or do you want to go on the Burning Bush?
Oh, and Mike, don't forget, they had that airplane ride where, you know, it was called the Pontius Pilots.
The Pontius Pilots, there they go. The Hall of Saints. We're going on. We're going over to the Hall of Saints.
Animatronic.
What do you do for It's a Small World? I'll think of something. You go on the chalice. The chalices are the teacups. They're the ones that spin around, the chalices.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. All right.
I thought that was the Ark of the Covenant.
The Ark of the Covenant. That's a Raiders of the Lost Ark. So
for the small world, it would be it's a doomed world.
It's a doomed world, yeah.
That would be after all.
We're going to start on the Crucifier, then we're going to hop on the Burning Bush, and then we're going to wrap the whole thing on with the apocalypse.
Usually that's you want to end on that.
What's the last one? You end on the resurrection.
The resurrection.
Only with an upgraded ticket.
The resurrection gift shop. At the very end of the whole park as you're heading out. All right, we have to take a break. We will come back with something. Rob wants to talk about a TV show that he likes so bad. But first, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Do you like your gas?
Yes.
Do you like your Blackstone? Are you a charcoal guy? Doesn't matter. Listen up. Need my music.
I know.
Need my music every day. Need my music. Can't do my spot without my music. Have to have my music to do my spot. You like your gas? You like your Blackstone? Are you a charcoal guy? Doesn't matter. Listen up.
Oh, I see what happened. I'm sorry.
You shouldn't be. Don't be sorry. Just do it.
No, it was just a small technical error. Here you go.
Small technical error every day. Grilling season is here, and Omaha Steaks is bringing the beef. The steak burger sale is officially on, and these aren't sad little grocery store hockey pucks, ladies and gentlemen. These are thick, juicy steakhouse-level burgers made from filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, brisket, and sirloin. Basically, bun busters.
Bun buster.
Your grill just got promoted. For just $99.99, you get 20 massive smash burgers. They are massive burgers. Delicious. Delicious, delivered right to your door. You gonna love them. We love Omaha Steaks on the Mike O'Mara Show. And the cool thing is, they go right from freezer to grill to stuff in your face.
Stuff your face?
Ridiculously delicious. As I mentioned before, delivered right to you. No shortcuts. Just premium beef and backyard glory. Get ready for grilling season with the mouth-watering Omaha Steaks Burger Perfection Pack, including 8 free Wagyu Smash Burgers. That's 28 burgers total for just $99.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and as a bonus, use promo code Mike to get $35 off your order. That's $35 off with promo code Mike.
Mike.
I love it when you say Mike. Terms apply. See the site
for details. Welcome back to the show. You are watching something that you are really into right now, because you've mentioned it like three times this week.
I've finished it, and I wanted to say that this show on Netflix called The Burrows, it's from the Duffer Brothers, who did Stranger Things, and a lot of people are simplifying it, saying that it's...
Did they do Something About Mary?
No, that's another... The
Farrelly Brothers.
Farrelly Brothers.
Duffer Brothers did the sci-fi stuff.
Yeah, and a lot of people are simplifying this show, saying it's Stranger Things in a nursing home with senior citizens, but it's not that. And it is a really good story. It's as I said on a Facebook post, they steal from Cocoon, they steal from Star Trek III, and they even steal from themselves. But this show never loses its humanity throughout, no matter the fact that they're dealing with, you know, outer space creatures. And no spoilers.
Let me tell you what I thought about Stranger Things. And I know you were into Stranger Things from the very beginning.
Yeah, but I faded at the end.
Yeah, I thought it went batshit off the rails.
Yeah, me too.
After a certain period of time, and I did not care for that part of it. Is if you're telling me that this has... It's more story-centric, then I'm intrigued.
And also, Mike, the acting is off the charts, and this is the point I wanted to make, is I think one of the most, and he's the star, one of the most underrated actors we've got right now is Alfred Molina.
And I just love Alfred Molina. He's fantastic.
I was so inspired by watching this. I went back, and now I'm rewatching Feud, the Bette Davis, Joan Crawford miniseries, because he plays the director in that, and he's great in that.
Is Alfred Molina one of the patients in the nursing home?
Yeah, he is a newly widowed guy, and he's the one that's sort of the straw that stirs the drink. And it's not a nursing home; it's a overage community.
Is this a miniseries or a season one?
8 episodes that ends completely with everything tied up. I can't imagine they do a second season.
That's a limited series.
Yeah.
Because that's why I bailed after a couple seasons of Stranger Things, is it just dragged out.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, he is so good in that. And, I mean, you go back, everything Alfred Molina is in, he's great. And I don't know why he doesn't top a lot of lists or anything. Because he just, range.
Do you remember when he was Doc Ock?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. He's one of the best villains in cinema history. Mm-hmm. But he just gets in there, he does the work, and I think that everyone will enjoy this. It's actually, at the end, it has a very positive message. And it was a good watch, 8 episodes. I think you'll also like it.
And the other thing we were going to talk about today was the NFL, and the fact that you guys freaked me out a little bit, because I haven't been tracking with this, that the NFL is attempting to modify their schedules for Sunday for the purposes of taking over more days of the week. Is that right?
We all like NFL Sundays, and we like the afternoons. You come home, you watch the football game.
I love
this. This year, they are down to 193 games this year that will be on Sunday afternoons. Last year, it was 194. And when they went to 18 games a couple years ago, it was at 212.
And that tells me we're going to get more
going away from Sundays. Yeah.
That tells me we're going to get more of the nighttime games that go till midnight.
Mike, it's all about money.
Yeah.
It's another present. If they can get a national game on another night and they've got everyone hooked on the NFL like it's heroin or crack, that's guaranteed money for them. And remember,
and
it wasn't
all their deals.
In my lifetime, there didn't even used to be Monday night football. That was a big deal. And then Thursday night football happened. And then the playoff weekends, they split for Saturday and Sunday. They're slowly taking over everything. And don't think it's an accident.
Nothing is special about primetime games anymore because there's so many. Monday night football and your team getting selected for that used to be a big deal.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yes.
And they worked it into the statistics where national television, I remember the Daniel Jones performances on Monday Night Football. By the way, they were stellar.
Yes.
The best ever. But the NFL is, this sounds old man-ish to say this, but they're kind of cagey. They're kind of slick, and they're kind of like...
More than kind of.
They want to take over... What's that, Josh? Yeah. I'm sorry?
And now there's more options than ever, because we're going to have games on Netflix, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And other streaming services, because it's whoever can pay us the money.
Yeah, the Commanders are going to be on Fubo.
They probably are. Fubo being that. I love the NFL, but I also love the fact that it was Sunday.
Yeah,
and you
it's
could
too
have
much
a
right
day
now.
Game on Sunday, and by 7 o'clock, you were all done with
have
football for the week. But they
dinner,
can't
rather.
Do that because greedy. That's
and also, I don't want to beat this drum again, but I will. There was a movie called Concussion that made the NFL look horrible. It was very well reviewed. It got a major release, and it was gone in 9 days. Wonder why?
Mm-hmm.
Wonder why?
Yeah, with the traumatic brain injuries that have resulted in horrible things happening to these guys that have that. And by the way, you know, you never the bad PR with that the NFL keeps under wraps all the time.
Yeah,
it's not just the brain injuries. If you go back and you look at an NFL lineman getting, go ahead, Josh.
If you remember when Ray Rice got into trouble up in Atlantic City. Before the police even showed up, NFL security was there.
Of course.
To control the whole situation.
They do. And
it's like Hollywood in the 30s. They protect their own. And they do the very best they can because football is not a sport. It's an industry.
And here is where you will be able to watch your football this year. Sunday afternoons, CBS and Fox.
Yay,
Monday
CBS.
Nights, NBC. Right. Monday nights, ESPN. Preseason games, the NFL Network. Thursday night football on Amazon. Sunday mornings on Peacock, select games on ESPN Plus, Paramount Plus, Netflix for holiday games, and NFL Plus for select games.
And what it does is for the real fans, I mean, get ready to take a look at. Fear of missing out. Where's the game? Where's the game? They don't care about that.
Who's going to get the international games? The ones that Jimmy will travel to.
The Ravens have one, I think, in Munich this year.
Munich,
maybe it's Mexico. I don't remember.
Oh, no. This beer is so good.
The Baltimore Ravens are coming to Germany.
I was wrong. Rio de Janeiro.
Rio de Janeiro.
Mike, have you seen this? My Rio de Janeiro right here.
What's that? What? Yeah. Oh, go to Rio. We'll take a break. Come back. You got some beautiful video for us, Rob.
I got so much. I don't know. Mike, I'm up to my ears in it.
I think some of that stuff got in my eye.
No, that's no good. Well, then you won't get eye cancer.
Hey, everybody, if you listen to this podcast and if you can hear me right now, odds are you do. Then you know I'm a legendary handyman. Oh, yeah. Plumbing, done it. Painting, absolutely. Pool repair. Elite level. But now add this to the resume. Pest control. Thanks to Pesty. Pesty is DIY pest control made ridiculously easy. Their custom kit takes just minutes to apply, and treatments start at only $35. That's it. You get a plan tailored to your location, climate, and the creepy things crawling around your house. Got a lot of them down here in Florida. We're talking over 100 kinds of pests. Ants, spiders, roaches, even scorpions. The Pesty kit comes with everything, reusable electric sprayer, mixing bag, pesticide, gloves, instructions, all ready to go. You can treat your entire home in under 10 minutes. We've done it. Rob's done it. Rob is actually using Pesty on his leg right now. We love it. And here's the kicker. Pesty is kid and pet friendly. Their products have been used safely in hospitals and schools nationwide. Plus, they back it all with a 100% bug-free guarantee or your money back. No hassle, no questions asked, ladies and gentlemen. Pesty, Pesty, Pesty. And now Rob Spiewak has some beautiful video for us.
I do indeed.
Gentlemen, take it away,
Rob. I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry time.
Mike, you're a guy that lives on deadlines, and I know that you hate when stuff is late, and you pay attention to it, and it's important to you. If you rent something for a certain number of days, do you think it's important to get it back day of?
I mean, are you talking like a car or something like that?
Very much like a car. Like, let's go to Dateline, Idaho, and the U-Haul lot. The guy returned the trailer, and it was a little overdue.
On its side, a slogan, America's Moving Adventure. But where this trailer has been moving over nearly a decade and a half remains a mystery.
So when I opened it up, I'm like, well, that's not normal. And then I was looking for the license plate, and the license plate's gone too, so I knew something was up.
Mitchell Gosser works at the U-Haul office in Polkville, just outside of Cortland. A couple weeks ago, this 6x12 trailer was mysteriously dropped off at a U-Haul office in Syracuse, and then taken back to Cortland County, where it was last seen 14 years ago.
For 14 years,
multiply
that by $30 a day.
Look at the dog.
$153,000. Then you have to add on the tax, of course. So that rounded up to about $165,000.
You know, for $165,000, you probably could buy your own trailer.
I think you could. Yeah. I think you could. And it's nice to know that, you know, they're hiring children to work at Utah. Yeah. You all know.
You can only be hired if you have a Superman ringlet on the front of your hair like that. So.
Well, that kid wasn't born when it was rented.
That's probably right.
He wasn't, absolutely.
Mike, I always love to start a tape like this when I say, she's okay.
Okay.
Okay. Would you ever go paragliding?
Not on your life.
Yeah,
not
I don't feel chance. That it's... This is in Austria, but
terrifying.
I go...
Terrifying.
I think that they're perhaps under-regulated. You might want to check if you're paragliding that there's no airplanes in your airspace.
Oh, I saw
caught
this.
On
this
camera
is terrifying.
And hit by a propeller. A
Lindsay.
Paraglider has to act fast after a plane collides with her chute and sends her into a free fall, spinning toward the ground.
Watch this. Watch this. Right in the right in the glide. Oh.
Sure.
The one I saw, she was like screaming.
Oh, my goodness. A woman paragliding over the Austrian Alps.
But it made me feel better.
When a small plane slices through her canopy, spinning out of control, struggling to get her bearings, she manages to stay calm and pull her emergency chute.
Got emergency chute.
That does work, and she lands safely.
Safe-like. That does work, and she lands safely in a Christmas tree.
Look at that. Wow. You can see she is still conscious.
Yeah, okay. You might want to open up the nasal passages when you're doing that news report, please.
Leave Lindsay alone right now.
Hello, no.
But it's nice to know that you can still survive that.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, well, that's the emergency chute. Mm-hmm. I have an emergency chute in my bathroom. Go ahead, Rob.
Mike, we have a great guy that heads up our Department of Health and Human Services in the United States. And not only does he come from a royal political lineage, he's married to a famous lady,
yeah,
Cheryl
Hines.
Yeah,
the lady from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
And he hangs out with celebrities like Dr. Oz. Mm-hmm. He was visiting Dr. Oz with his wife. You can hear Cheryl Hines in this video. When they spotted two snakes out on Dr. Oz's lanai. So what do? You wrangle them. This is Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Just grabbing them with his bare hands.
Yeah. And by the way, he released this. This is not like something that was uncovered. He put this out.
So what are they? Well, they're having sex. So what were they?
They're black snakes.
Yeah.
Oh. Is he going to slaughter it and put it on top of his car?
Is he going to slurp it like a noodle? No.
Okay. Oh, you got it.
Are they biting?
They tagged him there.
Not the first time.
Jesus, the mouths are huge.
And what Mehmet fails to mention on his lanai.
Mehmet, I love it when you call my first name Mehmet.
What Mehmet doesn't say is even though a black snake is not poisonous, the bites can lead to infection, and, you know, good luck to him. I'm sure that drinking raw
Enjoy
milk will help.
Yeah, he likes wildlife. He just proved it. He loves to go get things. He likes to get roadkill, and he likes to go get snakes in
and
the
I
corner.
Used to really like Cheryl Hines, and now I can't.
Yeah.
Because I just hear, honey, put that down. Stop it. It's a moccasin.
America. All right.
Yeah. One quick one, and then a finisher, Mike. Have you ever seen the videos? I love these. People that have perfect pitch.
Yeah, I love them.
It's fascinating.
Fantastic.
This lady has got it.
I have perfect pitch, so I'm going to squeeze this squeezy toy and then mimic the sound it makes.
Dead on.
Not exactly what I was expecting.
You expected something a little different?
Yep, a little bit. Absolutely.
Mike, what year was it that you were doing your act as the one-man band?
I was working right before I got my job at the Gaithersburg, Maryland Marriott.
Yes.
I was working at a lesser hotel, and I forgot. I think it was the Breezeway.
Yes.
And I was doing that in the lounge. It wasn't really a lounge. It was, they converted the area where they served the breakfast.
Oh, the Continental Breakfast.
The Continental Breakfast. They put a couple of chairs out.
Mike, I am unashamedly fascinated by the whole notion of a one-man band because it's a lot of stuff going on. I do like this guy because the song he performs is one of the saddest songs you could think, Killing Me Softly with his song.
Ugh.
But he calls it Killing Me Loudly. Let's close with this.
McCain's, and this is Killing Me Softly with his song.
Mike, if you want to see him, Mike, he's appearing at Noah's Ark.
That's exciting. Looking forward to that.
Mike, do you use your phone flashlight like that all the time?
Oh, sorry. You got my wide shot. Sorry about that.
The light on?
Sorry about
that'll
that.
That'll drain the battery and heat it up.
Yeah. Well, you know, thanks for noticing. Love those. I love the way the shots switch on this little program.
Recording the bonus show today.
Yes, we are. 4 o'clock this afternoon. And then later on in the week, the Producers Club will be meeting. And that's big fun as well. If you're interested in the Producers Club, go to our website and check it out. It's something where you get insights into the actual production of the show. And we value your opinions.
Yeah,
and
you might invite your participation.
Who actually provides us with content ideas and what we're doing with the Mike O'Mara Show. We appreciate that. We got to get out of here. We'll be taping this afternoon 4 p.m. with another bonus show. Please join us for that. It's live streamed if
love
you
it.
Are a bonus show subscriber. For Josh Soroka and Rob Spiewak, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Love you, Pop.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. Please remember to click the Amazon link at tmospodcast.com before you shop online. It means a lot and makes the world a better place.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
It's a mess. Glass and poop everywhere.
Hey, it's Gary Busey. Listen to this.